Good morning, everybody, and welcome. And welcome especially to Richard and Sue Davies, who are going to talk to us about their work with AIM. And my own personal welcome to Jeff and Catherine Barley from Canada. And I know you'll make everybody very welcome. And to the rest of the Percivals at the back as well. Good morning. Yes. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let's stand together and say the opening collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We read in Revelations, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And from Psalm 95 we ring, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And we put this into practice with ye servants of God. We remain standing. Let us make a statement of our belief. What do we believe?
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us. And write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. But we confess that we have failed to live up to his standards. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins, which we have committed by thought, word, and deed, against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past. And grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance. Have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." The Apostle John said, "If any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins." And therefore the Bible says we can have peace with God, and we're able to say, "We are the body of Christ.
His spirit is with us."
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And you might like to share that peace with each other. That's peace with you. Give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
"Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High."
Pray with me.
We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he instituted and commands us to continue our perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
Amen.
All who love the Lord are welcome at the Lord's table. Small cups containing grape juice in the light tray and wine in the darker tray. All the bread is gluten-free, and you may stand or kneel to receive Holy Communion. We encourage families to come together.
We're going to stand and sing, "O Jesus, I Have Promised." Seated while we have our reading.
Today's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but rather as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for solid food. Even now you are still not ready, for you are still of the flesh. For as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos, are you not merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's fields, God's buildings. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Morning, everyone.
Morning. 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 Yeah.
Don't get used to this, but I've prepared a shorter sermon.
It can be done.
It can be done. Don't rejoice yet. The President of the United States of America might address his people as my fellow Americans. The President of Russia might address his people as comrades, which means my fellow members of the Communist Party. How might Jesus, the King of the Universe, address us as his followers? You might say, well, he doesn't really need a generic title because he calls his sheep by name. And that's a great answer, one worth remembering. But some Christians also support the idea that Jesus could easily address us as my fellow workers. And that raises a question. Do we work with Jesus or for Jesus? One famous hymn that we began the service with says, "You servants of God, your master proclaim." This would indicate the work that we work for God as we serve him. And most mission organisations talk about serving God on the mission field. But then Jesus says in John 15:15, "I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father." Now the word friends sounds more collegial, as if we are working with Jesus, side by side. And yet Jesus still commands us and sends us out to do certain things for him. Our sermon series that we're involved in at the moment is called Whose Side Are You On? And runs on the theme of Christians being united in Christ. Last week we saw from Ephesians 1 that we are united with Christ, or spiritually seated with Christ, in the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places. That is our spiritual reality in this physical world. Today we look at how another spiritual reality affects us in our physical world. We want to understand how we might be united with Christ in his work. But before we do that, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, please open our eyes that we may see your truth, open our minds to understand it, open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So are we united with Christ in his work, or united in Christ through his work? Well, it might help to define what we mean by the work of Christ. What work did Jesus Christ come to do on earth through his life, death, and resurrection? I know you know the answer, but I'll tell you anyway. He came to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we might be forgiven and receive adoption into God's family, that we might live with him forever. Now, Is there anything at all that we contribute to that process? No, nothing at all. Ephesians 2:8-9 reminds us, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's a gift from God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." We are not contributors to Christ's work of salvation. We are not fellow workers in Christ's work of redemption. As another song says, and we'll sing at the end, "In Christ alone my hope is found." But we are called to be witnesses and ambassadors as we go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel and proclaim what Christ has done. So, do we work with Jesus or for Jesus as we commit ourselves to this great commission? If you were to do an internet search for the phrase "fellow workers with Christ," you would be directed to 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, which we read this morning, which, depending on your translation, will tell you that we are either fellow workers with God or fellow workers for God. The NAB, not the bank, but the New American Bible, says we are God's co-workers. Our NRSV in the pews says we are God's servants, working together. The confusion arises with the term "God's fellow workers," which could mean we are fellow workers with God. As he works, we work with him. That's the way the NIV co-workers takes it. Or we are people who work together with each other for God, fellow workers with each other for God. That's the way the NRSV takes it. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9 contains the clues which point us to what Paul is trying to say. For the remainder of the verse says, you are God's field, you are God's building. So the context is a list of things that belong to God. You're God's building, you're God's field, you're God's workers. We are fellow workers who belong to God. We work with each other and for God. This fits with the wider context in which Paul is addressing the division in the Corinthian church. If you go to the beginning of the letter, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 12, Paul says, each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. But in this chapter 3, he says that Paul and Apollos are not divided. They are actually keen to work together. They are God's fellow workers, working together with each other for God. The context also reveals that there are certain things that only God can do. Paul says one plants, that's like planting the seed, the message, one plants and another waters, but it is only God who gives the growth. Likewise, we know that only the Holy Spirit can convict and convince people of their sin in the first place. So it is clear that we do not and cannot play any role in the work that God himself does. When we talk about being united with Christ in his work, the emphasis is on our unity with each other, and the focus is on the work that Christ and Christ alone has done. It is our understanding then that we are not contributors to the work of Christ, but beneficiaries of the work of Christ. Paul goes to great lengths in the book of Romans, another great letter, to show how we are justified by faith through the grace, mercy, and love of God and the work of Christ alone. In Romans 6, Paul links two amazing spiritual realities, basically saying that if we are in Christ now, which we saw last week was the spiritual reality that we have in this physical world, if we are in Christ now, then he says we were with Christ as Christ was doing his work. Listen to Romans 6 verse 4. Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Notice, we are not contributors to the work, but beneficiaries of the work. And notice that we've been raised from death to life, to to walk in newness of life now, while we're alive here on earth, not later on in heaven, although that will also be true. Once again, the spiritual reality becomes our physical reality here and now. Romans 6:6 says, we know that our old self was crucified with him. That's true, even though we weren't even born. Even though we weren't even born, when Jesus died for our sins, it was as if we died. And in Romans 6:8, Paul says, but if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. And is that talking about heaven, or is that talking about life right now? Romans 6:10 says, the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. And the implication, I believe, from what Paul is saying is that we live our lives to God with Christ now. It's not something we wait to do later. Jesus died for our old way of life so that we might live his new eternal life now and forever. If we died with him, then we will also live with him now and forever. Paul rams home his message in Romans 6:11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus. This is the consequence of being in Christ, of being on the Lord's side. So are we united with Christ in his work? Well, we're certainly united with each other in the work that Christ has done for us. And we are certainly united with each other in the work that Christ asks us to do for him. We are not co-workers with God in the sense that we share the burden of the work and therefore share the glory, as if God couldn't do it without us. That doesn't take into account Acts 17:25, where it says, God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. So what we really could say is that we work under God, not beside him, as if we were his equals. And that phrase, working under God, is a phrase I hear a lot in this diocese. Yet the spiritual reality of Christ's work should be evidently true for us who believe. It should be obvious that Christ works in us and through us to bring others to a saving knowledge of himself and to eternal life with God our Father. It should be obvious that we have died to sin, that sin has no dominion over us. Yes, we fall and slip and fail and go into sin sometimes, but it's not the one that we worship and serve as our dominant king or ruler. It should be obvious that we now live for God and that Christ has dominion over us. We love and serve and follow him. Romans 6:13 says, therefore present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Present your members, present your body, present everything you are and have to God as instruments of righteousness. You see, Christianity is not a passive faith. We are not simply waiting to die and waiting to go to heaven. Christianity is an active faith. The work of Christ is being revealed in the way that we live and work for him, and in the way that we do this together. We are united in Christ. That's whose side we are on. We are united in and by the work of Christ for us, and we are united in and by the work that we do for him. So let's pray that God will help us to continue to do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you that while we were dead in our sin, you made us alive in Christ. By your grace, we have been saved. We pray that you would help us to live in Christ as people who have been brought from death to life. Help us to demonstrate this reality as we disseminate the truth of your gospel, so that you might bring others to this same reality in Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
So as Eric said, we will stand and sing In Christ Alone.
We have one of the things notices I would bring to you would be go to our website, check out the new thing we have for prayers. I've sent an email around to the parish about that, but if you haven't seen that yet, that's a place to keep up to date. We'll try and keep that up to date. If you have prayer points you want me to add to that list or subtract from that list, let me know. We also wanted to think about, we haven't talked about Julie for a long time, so Sharon's going to come up and give us a short brief update on Julie's work in Indonesia.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How wonderful it is to have our beautiful missionaries here with us, Richard and Sue. Isn't it wonderful? It's fantastic. Okay, so I'm the advocate for Julie, who is our homegrown missionary. She is serving in Southeast Asia, and for those of you who don't know, she grew up in this church, which is just marvellous. So I just give a little update from her last email. Julie tells us how she had dengue fever and her landlady, Mrs. Zia, was a wonderful blessing, bringing her food and help. Julie hopes to be a blessing to Mrs. Zia too, and they share meals often. Julie has been busy learning about day-to-day customs and habits and observing many life celebrations and routines. She joined in a parade of Independence Day festivities. Julie is very happy to report that she has joined a local church, which included scrubbing floors at the working bee. The new university year has begun, and Julie was delighted to be involved with the student fellowship welcome event there. This was at the nearby Catholic University. This is why she's over there in Southeast Asia. She's going to be working at the universities with the university students there. She's not sure if she'll continue with this group. Julie's life experience learning curves have included working on her pronunciation, not just the written language, remembering a raincoat or umbrella as the wet season has arrived. I'm sure Richard and Sue would know all about that. remembering when and where the peak hour traffic spots are. And Julie says that she's loving motorbike exploration of the area, meeting university students from all ethnic backgrounds, discovering more delicious foods, and I have to say this seems to be quite a recurring theme that I've noticed in her newsletters. I just got two really quick slides that she sent a few photos through. Here was Julie getting ready for a wedding that she went to a few weeks ago, and I think she looks absolutely gorgeous. Beautiful. And the next one is, this is just some photos of Julie visiting some friends in Jakarta earlier this week. Okay, so now I'm just going to say a prayer for her. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Julie's service to you in Southeast Asia and for many answered prayers. We especially thank you for her recovery to full health after having dengue fever. We are extremely grateful for this. Please bless her with ongoing good health. Thank you, dear Lord, for the warm welcome Julie received from the leaders of the two university fellowships. We pray for wisdom for her to know if she can serve both groups or only one. We pray for the university staff workers, especially for perseverance in encouraging the faith of their students. We pray too, dear Lord, for Julie's ongoing language development, especially with pronunciation. As we realise, this is essential so Julie can converse and understand the people and the world around her. Please bless the work of CMS in Southeast Asia, all around the world, and with your Holy Spirit and presence in their lives. We thank you for missionaries here at home, for missionaries abroad, and for all of us as we are your missionaries too. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good job. We're going to.
Are we finished with notices?
I think so. Yes. Unless there was any other notice people needed to give right now. Going, gone. then we're going to stand and we'll have this blessing together, and then we'll go out and share some morning tea, and I hope that you'll harangue the Davies as much as you can and ask them all the questions that you still have, and that'd be great. They would enjoy that and love that. I love sharing with you. So now, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.
Thank you.